So, hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Deep Dive with Tiffany and myself, Stephen. So, Tiffany, I want to ask you, you know, do you bring a reusable bag when you head out to the supermarket to buy your groceries?
Yeah, I do it all the time. Okay, maybe I shouldn't say all the time because someone's going to catch me at a supermarket asking for a plastic bag. But when I can, definitely I do. But, you know, okay. I mean, sometimes you just end up, you know, wanting a piece of chicken or whatever, and then you didn't bring your plastic bag, so you just asked for one. But what about you? Do you
me?
Bring your own shopping bag?
Oh, I'm a super cheapskate. I don't want to pay 5 cents, so I always bring my own bag. In fact, I even have my own plastic bag just in case I need it. You never know. I keep some in my pocket in my bag too. Yeah.
So clearly you are one of those people who, you know, have been following the rules because, you know, it's been more than 2 years that, you know, since Singapore has made it mandatory for major supermarkets to charge for plastic bags. And recently, Haumat and Ang Mo Supermarket were taken off the scheme because their annual turnover didn't reach the prescribed threshold of 100 million Singapore dollars.
Yeah, so CNA also reported that while this plastic bag scheme has raised millions of dollars, some retailers are actually using the proceeds for business operations. I'll give you an example. Cold Storage reportedly used part of the funds to upgrade its refrigeration systems, which it claims is now more energy efficient. Haumat, on the other hand, put all of the funds to cover their operating costs.
Yeah, so what does this mean for Singapore's green plan? And will this change how consumers like you and I shop at our favourite supermarkets? With us today, we want to talk about this. We have Cheong Kok Chong, Executive Director at the Singapore Environment Council.
Hello, everybody.
And we have Professor Lawrence Low, Director of the Centre for Governance and Sustainability at the NUS Business School.
Hello, happy to be here.
So let's start off with a bit of background for our listeners and viewers. What exactly are supermarkets supposed to do with the proceeds of plastic bag sales?
Okay, before we go into that, maybe you allow me just to recap on what this charge is for. So the primary aim is to have a nudge to consumers, right? To encourage all of us to adopt more sustainable habits, discourage the overconsumption of bags, and hence reduce waste. And based on the information previously shared by the ministry, the supermarkets reported a 70 to 80% reduction in the number of plastic bags issued in the first year. And then based on the supermarket's latest reports, it looks like this reduction has been sustained. So it indicates that this charge has been very effective in reducing the use of disposable bags. And what's also encouraging is that this reduction has been maintained even after the charge has become familiar to consumers. Then, of course, now we come to a secondary issue of how the proceeds are to be used.
Just to clarify, I mean, basically the 5 cents, you know, you're charged if you need a plastic bag. So most people will now be bringing their own. But the 5 cents that the supermarkets make from all the plastic bags that are technically sold, that's the question. Where is that money going to? What is it meant to be used for?
I understand that NEA designed the scheme to give supermarkets autonomy to decide how best to use the proceeds, while encouraging them to channel the proceeds to environmental or social causes, and paired with this to uphold transparency and accountability. There is also a requirement for supermarkets to publicly disclose how the proceeds are used. So this combo effectively gives supermarkets some flexibility to choose their course.
We mentioned some examples earlier on, and, you know, say for Cold Storage, for example, it said it used some of its proceeds on a refrigeration system, right? So isn't that kind of considered as part of a sustainability push?
Yeah, I think if you look at this whole system, of course, right now there's some flexibility, as Casey was mentioning. But I think it's only fair that if you collect these plastic bag charges in a special scheme, we should be rechanneled back for the very purpose that we want the fund to actually be aligned with. In other words, environmental sustainability. So I think it's very important that even with the flexibility, the companies actually put them into users that are consistent with the spirit of this whole campaign. I mean, public trust is very important. In fact, it's a precondition, and I think it's not only it should be seen to be done, it should be actually be done, because even though the amount is small, but the gesture is very big for this plastic bag. I think it should not be seen as a hidden subsidy or even source of revenue for the companies, even though it's not too big in terms of the overall picture of their P&L. I think the symbolism is very, very important.
So with cold storage, buying that new refrigeration system, you're saying is okay, assuming it's a more environmentally, a more green kind of refrigeration system, right?
Yes. Yes, I think if you look at the refrigeration, if you just buy any new refrigeration, I think definitely it's going against the grain of what we want to promote. But if you can tell the story that the refrigeration is energy efficient, it is something that will reduce or avoid carbon emission. I think that the intent and the very purpose is kept.
Right.
So I think that flexibility should be extended, not just to plant trees or, that I think the spectrum of activities that are permissible should be, expanded to allow companies to
Okay.
decide how they want to be sustainable.
But some would argue that this should be a operational cost, that they should be planning for it, that the equipment will amortize over a certain number of years. I mean, Casey, what do you think?
So as for these supermarkets who have spent part of the proceeds on their own decarbonization projects, from what the supermarkets have shared so far, I mean, it may well may be the case that A, these projects meaningfully help to decarbonize their operations and indeed may be good for the environment. And furthermore, it also may be the case that these projects would not have been commercially attractive on their own and would not have been undertaken if not for the use of the bag proceeds. So we can have the benefit of the doubt that this may well be worthy projects from the environmental perspective. But as for whether this make for good PR for the supermarkets, I am not so sure given the public reaction so far. So there seems to be some public expectation that it would be better for these proceeds to be used for charitable causes.
Okay, there are two things here. One is the fact that the rules kind of state that supermarkets chains should be, they are strongly encouraged, right, to channel the money to environmental and social concerns. So that term itself, strongly encouraged, suggests that they can, I don't know, park their money anywhere that they, kind of see in these two very general, very big areas. But more importantly, I don't quite understand where is the line between operating costs? Like, this is part of your business cost, right? To go green and to, I mean, be better for the environment, better for your business as well, because you would save money. And on the other hand, that you are able to use these proceeds to help you to go green. So where exactly is that line?
I think in terms of design, I suppose it was designed without the line, right? So the whole idea is that, to give supermarkets flexibility to choose the cost. And actually, if you think about it, this pot of about $6 over million each year, it could potentially support a range of really interesting ground-up initiatives. I believe that this approach is still valid. The charge, together with the transparency of how the proceeds are used, it then becomes more like a social movement rather than a policy, right? So, given the ongoing reaction to how some supermarkets have used the proceeds, I think this approach is working out exactly as designed. In a sense, the public has expressed certain views about how these proceeds should be used. And I'm fairly confident that the supermarkets have heard the feedback and will probably respond accordingly in future.
So only because the public has sort of spoken up and shared, their feelings. Because actually, for many of us, I gotta admit, when I first heard about this, I was like, oh, I didn't even think about where the money was going at first. I always just assumed it would be, kind of pumped back into something sustainable as well.
And were you happy with the reason for where the money was going to, Steve?
I'm a bit torn actually, because I think improving the equipment In one case, NTUC, you know, building EV infrastructure. All those things are helping us go towards a green nation. So yes, there are steps along the way. But if you ask about the true spirit of where that plastic bag money has gone, then I guess it does seem a little bit misaligned, because I would expect those other costs to be borne by the company themselves. So I guess that's what people are feeling, right? I mean,
yeah.
Prof, what do you think? I mean, how should we... Because there's no real right or wrong, right? We're all heading the same general direction. It's just how we get there.
Yes, definitely there's no right or wrong. And in fact, there are 50 shades of green. And I think we should actually not narrow down to say if you want to use the money, it should be actually in terms of waste disposal or in terms of reducing packaging. But I think we should actually enlarge the whole array of initiatives that at least are green. So, for example, EV or even energy efficient refrigeration, in totality, they actually contributed to the big picture of sustainability. But having said that, I think if you look at, say, a broader picture, what could be some alternative models?
Mm.
I mean, right now, our model is somewhat voluntary. They are strongly persuaded to do so. Of course, the more draconian measure is to legislate and make sure that they put it into proper use. I think Singapore probably don't want to go that way, because I think the voluntary method is good, because the company reputation will be the best safeguard. But if you just, let me just describe another model that was used in another country, Iran. You know, they collect the plastic bag charges, some pence, a few pence, and then they allocate this to a national fund. It's called the Circular Economy Fund. So in other words, it's ring fence. All the money will go to this special fund administered by the government, and that the fund would be actually used for green purpose. So rather than say that, you know, you legislate what they do, they just collect the thing and put it into this kitty, and it was properly administered. So it was a kind of a model. But I think the big problem is the administrative charge and some of the operational concern, you know, is there. You need to set up financial system to collect what little money they have for the central fund. In fact, it's almost like a tax. So I think the lack of, you know, for lack of better alternative, I think we can continue to go on with this voluntary approach and maybe create public awareness on saying that there are many things that are green, there are many ways to achieve green, not just reducing plastic bag or direct initiative that is relating to waste management, but the broader range, as long as something is decarbonized, you are okay.
Okay. But do you think consumers understand that though? Because right after the report came out, you know, in the spirit of transparency, so now we know what the different, you know, chains are doing with the money. Do you think it will make people just feel, it's okay lah, you know what I mean? Even if I pay 5 cents, then it's going to, I don't know what cost anyway. Do you think that's going to change consumer behavior now that we know?
I think transparency is really at the heart of it all. And of course, you can be transparently wrong as well. But at least you know where you are.
But I guess the question is, a lot of users have felt, well, okay, I'm doing good. I don't use my plastic bags. So has the onus been just on us consumers? Should we expect more from large corporations? Should they be regulated in terms of they also cannot use plastic bags for their packaging? They also cannot use, you know, certain plastic boxes or things like that?
My short answer is the Singapore's green transition, we really need all cylinders to be firing. Yes. To achieve scale, we need a lot more company action, but we also need a lot more individual actions to shape the culture. So I think if you look at NEA's suite of policies, apart from, say, this disposable carrier bag charge and also upcoming scheme of the beverage container return scheme, there are also a range of initiatives to encourage the producers to be more conscious about the amount of packaging waste that they are putting on the market. So, for example, there's the mandatory packaging requirement where big producers do report the amount of packaging that they put on the market and come up with some 3R plans on how they can reduce and sort of make the packaging a bit more circular in the longer term.
Okay, so you're still going back to the idea that us consumers need to play a larger role than large corporation.
I wouldn't call it larger or smaller role. Like, we all have to play a role in whatever sort of decisions that we are making that can influence the eventual outcome.
I think probably we perhaps can do a little bit more than just say a strong encouragement from NEA. Maybe to the extent of providing some guidelines that perhaps will allow certain leeway for the specific context of the companies, but at the same time, lay out certain, I'll say, parameters that say that these are some of the range of activities that are encouraged. So, for example, you know, you put it into waste reduction, you put it into you know, infrastructure that will make the company more green. So when such things are laid out, I think consumers will be educated. They say, oh, these are legitimized. So rather than, you know, everybody have their own difference in opinion, even in the energy efficient refrigeration. I mean, that already caused quite a lot of concern. So with clear guidelines, which are not mandatory, but they are, at least it provide certain clarity in the overall space. And I think that would be helpful, I think.
Mm. Yeah, because I think in the absence of very clear guidelines, you know, companies can do what they want to do in this area. And some people actually consider that as greenwashing, right? So what's your take on that?
I think greenwashing is, of course, bad. And greenwashing, I mean, for most of us, it's actually misrepresenting the environmental benefits of what you do. It's actually just about the environment. And I think in this case, we of course have to safeguard against that, which is why I say some kind of a voluntary guidelines would be helpful. At least it will steer away from possible greenwashing activities.
But how clearer can the guidelines be, though? I mean, yeah, like, I mean, short of being very prescriptive, and then everything then falls into certain categories, and then those categories will do better. But actually, there are other things that we can try to be more innovative in, but then we don't put money into all of that. So how clearer can those guidelines be?
Yeah, I think it can be clear, and perhaps even the one last cross in the guideline can be any other activity that would be sustainable in the context of the company. So you give them that leeway to define what is sustainable.
Yeah, but then they are saying that, wow, me and my refrigeration is very sustainable, me and my EV infrastructure is very sustainable. That's their justification, right? So, and then, but that somehow doesn't sit quite well with some consumers. I'm not saying all, but some consumers. So how do we help people get on board, the consumers like myself, get on board to say that actually this is actually good for the environment in the long term?
So education. I think precisely because of the lack of awareness, I think most people, and rightly so, have a more narrow view about green sustainability. And I think which is why we need to lay out and say maybe within the overall context. But because if you look at, say, now our carbon markets, our carbon credits, they cover almost anything that will reduce or avoid carbon emission. Anything from planting forests to even exchanging cook stove of villagers from wood stove to gas stove, you reduce carbon emission. But most people will not think that, you know, that is really green. But these are the things that are considered legitimate activities of decarbonization through market activities.
Mm. What if we had a system where you could use a percentage of it? So let's say building the EV parking bays will cost $1 million. And then you can say up to 50% can be used from your sustainability fund, which is the money you've collected from plastic bags. You know, so that way you are limiting what's being used. And then at the same time, you may say, and the requirement, it must be able to charge at least at a certain speed. So it's like that green, how many star yes. rating we have on our refrigerator and washing machine, that kind of concept.
Yeah, that definitely. I think, Steve, you are definitely right. I think we let's help the retailers to also go green. And even maybe another suggestion I have along with what you say is, you know, if companies are not sure what to do, maybe we can create a fund somewhere through a charity organization. You know, we have community chess. Maybe we create another fund called the Green Chess. So if companies just don't know what to do, they can just donate the whole lump sum of that plastic bag charges into this green chests, and then someone very wise would know what to do with them.
I can see Casey raising his hand. They can put it in the Singapore Environment Council. That's fun.
Can I just chip in and say, make a point in support of the beauty of the current slight messiness, right? So now what we have is this sort of conversation between the supermarkets and the public's reaction as to what is deemed to be valid users of the bag charge. So let's bear in mind, this is still early stage of the scheme. We've only had 1.5 years report out. So even at this early stage, I think some norms are starting to appear. So for example, in the case of the supermarket that used the proceeds totally for their own general operating expenses, not even for any green project. So I think the general sense is clear no, right? Mm. As for this sort of the other two that use them for sort of green projects, so it's a bit gray. And then of course, for those who donated it fully to charities, they are commended and then they are getting applause. So I think there will be this constant negotiation over time as the supermarkets get into the scheme, as more years of data gets released, and the public's attitude as to what would be worthy causes for this to go toward. I think it may shift over time as well. So if we can sustain this, then we can sidestep the need for some civil servants to come up with this tick manual with all sorts of rules, right? Just to define what would be allowable users for such a fund.
Mm. Yeah, because that's not environmentally friendly. All the paperwork he has to do, all the time he spends, you know.
Yeah. Prof, any last take on this issue?
I think my last take, let me put it this way. I think all the while in terms of many policy implementation, particularly in our green quest, and I think our focus, so a lot has been always on the adoption, but we always emphasize less on the transition. So my last take is this, even for these plastic bag chargers or for any green initiative, let's manage the transition, not just the adoption.
Yeah, I think, you know, Prof, you brought a good point, and Casey as well, which is, you know, I hope that people after listening to this podcast or watching this podcast, they would, you know, come on board and even, you know, share publicly what they think are, you know, good ways of helping retailers manage these extra proceeds that they are getting, or you know, money that is like, you know, safe, that whatever you're going to call it, right? So people will come forward to give solutions. And I think what we're also going to see is that, you know, now that we know how many percent, you know, are they channeling to sustainability causes, that number needs to increase year on year. It cannot drop anymore, because once it starts dropping, people will be like, aha, you know, last year you spent 80%. This year, how can you do 56% only? Yeah. So I think, you know, hopefully that, you know, this is all shifting in the right direction with, you know, maybe looking at clearer guidelines, looking at solutions, all of these things. I think they all play into this big ecosystem.
Yeah. I just think the good thing out of this is that it's got a conversation started. I mean, we're talking about it, and here we are sharing ideas and thoughts and making people more aware about everything that's being done. So yeah, I like the messy bit. Give it time and I think it'll sort itself out. Gentlemen, thank you for coming and sharing with us. For those of you joining us at home, you know, if you've found something interesting you'd like to share your thoughts on this, drop us a note. We'd love to hear from you. You can drop us an email at cnapodcast@mediacorp.com.sg. But otherwise, I think we're done, right, Tiff? We're out of here.
We are out of here. Back
to Yeah, don't want to waste any more electricity because it's not environmentally friendly.
And I'm just going to go to the supermarket right now to grab some groceries with my recyclable bag.
Bring your own bag.
Bring your own bag, that's right. All right, bye for now.
Okay.
See you guys
next time. Thank you. Bye.